And then there's great stuff. That was great stuff. Amen. I hope those children never quit believing what they just sang. I hope you never quit believing it. Sometimes we get concerned about the children, and it's the adults we need to get concerned about. Amen. The children have that simple childlike faith, and I'm thankful for it. And that was a blessing. I'm glad that many of the young people of Fellowship Baptist Church have chosen to serve the Lord with their life. And God has talented the young people here, and He's gifted them. And I'm glad that they are being groomed and developed and used for the glory of God. It's a wonderful thing. I see these young men come to church and they're dressed, ready to receive an offering, ready to serve God as a doorman of the Lord, as an usher in the church. And I know your parents are proud of you. I'm proud of you. But you know what? There's something greater than your parents and your preacher being proud of you. God's pleased with you. Amen. And it's just a wonderful thing. And then I see these young children playing piano, and young folks playing and singing and using their talent for the Lord. It's just a blessing. And I praise the Lord for that. If Jesus doesn't come soon, now I didn't say if He doesn't come. He's coming. But if He doesn't come soon, one day, these children, you see, is going to be leading the church. That's right. Now, I didn't say they're going to be part of the church. They're just as much a part of the church as we are. I said they're going to be leading the church. And we certainly want to pass on to them the truth of the Word of God so that they can stay true to the truth and they can serve God with purpose. Well, let me say a couple of words before we get into the message tonight. The first thing I want to say, and I was thinking about it, this morning and again tonight, if you play in the orchestra, I want you to stand to your feet. Stand up, all of you that play in the orchestra, and I want to say thank you. You have added so much to the music program here at the church, and I thank God for you. Thank you for using your talent for the Lord. This is something that I prayed about for years, and God brought it to fruition. Thank you. You may be seated. And I believe God's going to add to it. I really do. I just love to hear all the different instruments. You know, the Bible teaches in the book of Psalms, well, to praise God on the instruments. And I just believe that happens every time you play. And I know it blesses my heart. I hope it blesses yours. I believe it does if you're listening. It blesses my heart. Not only just the orchestra, but the pianist. All of those who play instruments, just a blessing. The guitarist, praise God for you. Praise God for you. Listen, we'd do it a cappella if we had to, but I'm glad we don't have to. Amen. I'm glad God's blessed us with some good musicians. Let me encourage you to pray. Tonight, right after the service, we're going to have a meeting about our nursery expansion, and I'll bring some things to your attention and the way we're going to finance and just some of the things that's going to happen as far as what you can expect in this nursery expansion. Continue to pray, if you would, for Sister Ann Woodward. Champ made the passing, went on to be with the Lord, and that was early yesterday morning. There will not be a service. So there's not going to be a service. Sister Ann just asked you to pray for the family. Okay, would you do that? Pray for the family during this time. Tomorrow will be the funeral service for Brother Russell. It'll begin right here at 10 o'clock as far as viewing, and then 11 o'clock will be the funeral service. And then right after the funeral service, we're going to go over to the annex building and we'll have a meal. And then Brother Russell is going to receive a military graveside, and that's going to be at the Culpeper Military Cemetery. And so you pray about that. If you can be here, be here. If you want to participate, ladies, and help and bring some food, if you have not already done so or would like to do so and don't know what to do or how to go about it, see if you would Sister Tammy Bianelli, and she'll direct you on what to do from there. I mentioned this morning a few people, and I'm going to just mention some folks, too, that if you would pray for. I'm thankful for the good report we got from Sister Buffy on her dad, seeing her here tonight, and we praise the Lord for that. Has he been released yet, Sister Buffy? Still in the hospital, but he has been placed in the step-down room, and so he's doing much better, and we praise the Lord for that. And just answered prayer. Continue to pray for Brother Don Lowry and Sister Linda, Sister Pauline Brock. Good to see Sister Gertie here today. And then I'm going to ask you to continue to pray for Brother Nelson, even though he's here, and we praise the Lord. There's just some answers that that the family's looking for, and so you continue to pray for Brother Nelson and Sister Janet. And Then I'd ask you to pray for May Street was mentioned, and I've heard that she's home from the hospital. I'm not going to tell you what David said. He just said she was home from the hospital, and I'm going to stick with that. His stepmom, home from the hospital. Brother Andy's dad, we got a good report on him Wednesday night. Praise the Lord for that. And we want to continue to pray for Brother Andy's dad. And then it was good to see Janice here this morning. I didn't see Ben, but I've encouraged you, and I'm going to ask you, please pray for Brother Ben Rollins. Brother Ben's a good man, and, you know, we just need to pray for it. I'll just leave it at that. Pray for Ben Rollins, if you would. Now, I want you to pray for our governor. And some people think, well, you know, the preacher's just, he's mocking. No, I'm not mocking. I'm serious. I want you to pray for our governor to be saved. I want you to pray for him to be saved. The Bible says we ought to pray for them in authority over us. And the greatest prayer request that many of these folks have is that they would be saved. They would be saved. See, we can't expect them to introduce and pass proper legislation when they have a carnal mind, when they have a heart that's separated and not attuned with God. And so I want to encourage you to pray for our governor, okay? And they say, well, I have some bad thoughts about him. Well, pray for him. Maybe God will give you some thoughts about his need, all right? He has some needs, and his greatest need is Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to pray for him to be saved. All right, Revelation. Revelation chapter number 6 was read in your hearing tonight, and we may or may not get to chapter 6. What I'd like to do tonight is something that the Lord laid on my heart, and I want to help you. Many times when the book of the Revelation is mentioned, people just get, I don't know, this look in their eyes like, oh, you know, this deep, dark, mysterious book. Well, I want you to listen again to the name of this book, Revelation. Okay? Revelation, that means reveal, not hide. Listen now, Revelation. It doesn't mean deep, dark, mysterious, hidden. It means the unveiling. That's what it means. The revealing. And so it's the exact opposite of what many people feel when they hear this book of the Bible called. They start thinking, oh, it's that, oh, I don't read that. That book scares me. It'll not scare you. It's the Word of God. It'll bless you. We already seen that, right? If you read it and heed it, the Bible says it'll bless you. And then don't think, well, you know, it's deep and it's got all of these hidden messages in it. No, it doesn't. Who told you that? That's not so. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of give you an overview of, in particular, the tribulation period. So I want you to take something to write with or a highlighter, and I'm really going to just really simplify what God has unveiled. I'm just going to show you the unveiling. All right, it's not anything on my part. I'm just going to bring to your attention, to our attention, what God has unveiled. It's not this deep, mysterious book. It's not. And so what we're going to do is just kind of do an overview of the tribulation period. Now, the book of the Revelation is written from a Jewish perspective. All right, in the book of Jeremiah, the tribulation period is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time when God is going to prove and to chastise Israel. And all the Gentile nations that have been disobedient and that go through this time with the Jewish nation. The church is gone. There's no one else left. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, and the church. Amen. That's it. That's all. So the church is going to be gone when the tribulation period begins. All right? So remember in chapters 1, 2, and 3, we read about the vision of Jesus. We read about the church age, and then at the close of the church age, we come to chapter 4, and there's a transition period. In chapter 4, verse number 1, John said, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So we go from earth to heaven. And in chapter 4 and chapter 5, things are taking place in heaven. All right? And something very interesting takes place in chapter 5 and verse number 1. Look at it. Chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Very important here. All right? Very important. Now this scroll or book has seven seals. And we're going to fast forward a little bit. What happens here is they search heaven and no one's able to take this book. Now this book pretty much is a book that was lost as far as dominion. Who had the right over earth? When God gave Adam dominion, he lost it. Now who's got it? Well, the Bible says heaven was searched over and no one was able to open the book except for one. In chapter number 5, it says the Lamb took the book. See, Jesus has the right, because if you'll study the scripture, he has reconciled all things unto himself. So what is getting ready to take place on this earth in the tribulation period that we're going to read about, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen, brethren. Jesus has the right to do this. All right? Because he paid the price. He paid the price. So he has the right. So we read in chapter 5 that there was this book and there was no one found in heaven and earth. It was a search. No one was able to open it. And then there was one. It was a lamb. And they opened the book and they burst forth in song. And the 24 elders in verses 9 and 10 joined with them. And it's just a wonderful thing. And then in chapter number 6 and verse number 1, we have this to happen. They began to open these seven seals. All right? Now notice what happens. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. All right? Seven seals. And so we go down and we have these seals. Six of them are mentioned in chapter number 6. Six seals. All right? So you read down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And verse number 12 says, and behold, he had opened the sixth seal. Now, these things are going to unleash some things upon this earth, and we'll get back into those if we have time tonight. We may or we may not, but eventually we're going to look at each one of these because each one of them are very, very interesting. Now, I will say this. This first seal is introducing a person to us that's going to come on the scene when the church leaves here. He's the Antichrist. All right? Now, the Antichrist is a real person. All right? Now, Antichrist is a system. Now, listen to me carefully. Antichrist is a system. But more importantly, it's a person. It's a person. Antichrist is a system. It's a mindset. This world is of the mindset of the Antichrist. This world is Antichrist. But there is a personal Antichrist. And I believe he's alive right now. You say, why do you believe that? Because I believe Jesus could come today. And there's no way I believe Jesus could come today if the Antichrist wasn't alive. Believe he's alive, and he's going to step on the scene. And when you read about this horse, the word that comes to mind is the latter part of verse number 2, conquer. All right? He's going to be the one world ruler. The religious system of this world and the political system of this world are going to come together. All right? And there's going to be an Antichrist and a false prophet. The scripture teaches that, and we'll get into that a little deeper. But let's move on. So you see these six seals are open. And then in chapter 7, you have this introduction in verse number 4 of these 144,000. You see that in chapter 7 and verse number 4? These 144,000 flaming Jewish evangelists. I didn't say flaming Jehovah's Witness. See, the Jehovah's Witness say, well, we're part of the 144,000. What tribe are you from? Amen. Need to read the book. There's 12,000 from 12 of the tribes, and God is going to use these 144,000 Jewish evangelists to evangelize folks that have not heard the gospel. They're going to do mission work. Read this. We'll go through this. Of many tongues and kindreds and nations. He picks back up. He's here in chapter 7. He introduces these 144 to us, 1,000. And then in chapter 14, he elaborates on them. All right? But in chapter 7, we have this. So we've heard six seals are open. And then there's kind of like this parenthetical. Oh, and by the way, God says, I want you to write that during the time that all of these things are happening, there's going to be some preaching. There's going to be some people getting saved. Now, they're going to die for their faith. They're going to die for their faith. You say, are they? Well, sure they are. Look at verse number 13 of chapter 7. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which were arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him in verse 14 of chapter 7, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All right? So we have this little parenthetical time. We'll look into that. Then you get to chapter 8. If you'll look in chapter number 8, the Bible says, and when he opened the seventh seal. So you'll remember that book that no one could open in heaven had seven seals. Six of them were open, and I mean things are unleashed upon this earth. But now before that, there was a little piece. That white horseman. He went forth conquering. The conqueror had a bow and no arrow. And he said, peace and safety. Right? The world's clamoring for peace. Do anything for peace at any cost. And at sometime in the, I believe, the near future, this world is going to have a false peace for a period of time. It's not going to be real peace because the Prince of Peace is not going to set up his kingdom here on this earth at that time. But the Antichrist is going to mimic that, and we'll talk more about that. So I'm just giving you a little overview. So you have these seven seals. Six of them are open, and then in chapter 8, look at it, he had a seventh seal. Now something happens when he opens the seventh seal. It's very interesting. Look at it, chapter 8, verse 1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. Now, I'm not going to tell you what one preacher said, but I want you to know that I'm not the one who said it. He said, this proves that there'll be no women in heaven. He said it, not me. So I didn't say that. He said it. If you want his name, I'll give you his name and address after the service, ladies. So there's silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. Now think about that. You say, now wait a minute. What's unusual about that? Well, number one, when you study the scripture, heaven is a jubilant place. It's a place of worship and praise. And there's going to be praising God. But then for 30 minutes, not 3 minutes. Listen, I could stand here and not say anything, and you could not say anything. And after about 5 minutes, it'd get a little awkward. 30 minutes in a place where there's praise and worship continuously. But there's going to be silence. And then the Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter 8, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So the seventh seal introduces seven more plagues. All right? So the seventh seal says, okay, now there's going to be seven trumpets. And these trumpets, four of them are mentioned right here in chapter number 8. If you look down in verse number 12, you'll see where the fourth angel sounded. So the fourth trumpeter sounded. You know what happens? When he sounded, if you look at verse number 13, he said, behold, I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet, the three angels which are yet to sound. So he said there's three more trumpets to sound, but there's also three woes that are going to go with them. And so we'll look at these. But this is an overview, all right? So there's seven seals from the book, six are open. The seventh one, there's silence, and then it introduces that seventh seal, seven more plagues in the form of seven trumpets. You following? Four of those trumpets right here in chapter number 8 are mentioned. And then he says, well, it's going to be for the last three, five, six, and seven trumpeteers, there's going to be a woe with each one. Well, verse number 9, it begins to take place. Or chapter 9, I'm sorry, in verse number 1, the fifth angel. So the fifth trumpeter sounds. And so you have that, and we'll follow that down, all the way down. Verse number 12 of chapter 9 says, one woe is past, behold, there's two woes. And then verse number 13 says, there was the sixth angel. And it sounded. Now I want you to watch something, what happens here. We're just taking an overview. God said, I want you to know that I'm getting ready to unleash fury upon this earth. Just for a second, back up to chapter number 6. And notice what happens. Notice what John says here in verse number 1 before he begins to talk about the horsemen. In chapter number 6, in verse number 1, he said, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. He said, I saw. But then he said this, I heard. In verse number 1 of chapter 6, I heard thunder. John said, there's a storm coming. We talked about that in chapter 4. Remember, look back in chapter 4, in verse number 5. While in heaven, he said, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. I believe that as an indicator that there's getting ready to be a fierce storm unleashed from heaven on this earth. Brethren, when you look at the latter part of chapter number 6, verse number 17, the Bible says, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You know, that breaks my heart. It really does. That doesn't make me happy. That makes me sad. There are going to be untold millions of people upon this earth. They're going to be here for a time that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. He said it's going to be a time on this earth like there never has been before. Listen, there's been some very catastrophic things happen on this earth in my lifetime. But in the history of the earth, there's been some catastrophic things happen. But Jesus said that none will compare to what's coming. The trumpets began to sound, and God begins to send forth judgment. And you would think that men would say, you know, we've sinned against God. Turn over to chapter number 9. We've sinned against God, and God is breaking us, and we're sorry for what we've done, and we repent, and we yield to God, and we want God to forgive us and to have mercy on us. But instead of praying for God to have mercy, they're shaking their fist and cursing God. Look, if you would, in chapter number 9, look at verse number 20. After untold millions of people have been killed by the plagues that God sends upon this earth during the tribulation period, the Bible says in verse number 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Sin has got a hold on them. A godless society. And God is rocking this world with plagues. And they're cussing God. And they're repenting not and saying, we're not going to get right. I want you to notice carefully in verse number 21, that word sorceries. It comes from the word, and we're going to study this with great care when we go through these sections. This word is used often in the book of the Revelation. The word is pharmakia. Our English word is pharmacy. Brethren, can I tell you that our world is drunk? Our world is high. Everybody's on something. Now, if you're sitting here and you're dependent on a drug, I'm not belittling you. I pray you get yourself some help. There's functioning addicts. You do understand that. There's functioning addicts. It's a lie of the devil. You can't function but so long. Sorceries. Pills. Some of them, they get from the doctor just like they're... They go to the store and buy it, it's no problem. They get a prescription filled every week, every month. There's people in your town, in my town, in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood that are addicted to those things. Pills, Percocets, pain pills. Black market drugs are not the big thing anymore. You don't see many folks on the corner now doing a deal. They just pop it right out of the medicine bottle, lay it out and say, I'll take 20 for two. Hey, this is real. I want you to understand something. It's real. And it's going on in a town near you. And as I said, there may be someone here. These prescription medications are powerful. Listen to me now, folks. And they will take hold of your life. Do you know what I'm saying tonight? It is real. You say, it won't happen to me, preacher. It's happened to stronger people than you and I. You be careful now what you think may not happen to you. You may have a legitimate injury and innocently begin to take something to help you through a surgery, through a time of a physical need, and before you know it, there can be develop a habitual need to where you will be addicted and out of control. It can happen, all right? And it's happening all around us. All around us. And so the Bible says they didn't repent. Chapter number 10, we have, where the 3.5-year period takes place. All right, chapter 10 closes up, and Look at verse chapter number 11, where the Bible says, in the latter part of verse number 2, that there are 42 months to go. If I do my math correct, that's about 3.5 years. There's 7 years of tribulation. That means we're right in the midway mark. Look at it in verse number 11. We're going to be introduced to some people here in chapter 11. All right? There's 42 months. Is that what the latter part of verse number 2 says? And then we get the days in the latter part of verse number 3. 1,200 and 70 days. That's 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years on the Jewish calendar. All right? God says, I want you to meet two people. Who are they? God said, I want you to meet them. They're two very interesting people. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. He said, it's two of my witnesses. Verse number 3 says, I will give power unto my two witnesses. You see that in chapter 11, verse 3? He said, I'm going to give power unto my two witnesses. We're just kind of moving through, navigating through the book of the Revelation a little bit, a little overview. People say, well, it's dark, it's deep. That's not deep. God said, hey, I got two witnesses I'm going to send. Right? Is that what he said? Yeah. And he said, I'm going to give them power. What kind of power do they have? Look at verse number 6. He said, one of them's going to have power to shut up heaven that it rain not for the days of the prophecy. Kind of sounds like Elijah to me. And then he said another of them, in verse number 6, he said, they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. Kind of sounds like Moses to me. They was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, which was a clear picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Right? So God said, I'm sending them. Yeah. I'm sending them to this earth. You say, well, can God do that? God can do anything he chooses to do. That's why he's God and I'm not. Right? So he said, I want to tell you, I'm sending these two witnesses. The world's going to hate them. They're going to hate them. Actually, they're going to kill them. And we'll study that and read about it. Look at chapter number 12. God said, hey, I want to take a little break from all the plagues that are taking place on the earth. And I want to tell you some, I want to introduce you to some characters. I want to tell you about two witnesses that are coming. Then in chapter 12, he said, I want to introduce you to some more witnesses. He said, there's this sun-clothed woman. You see that in chapter 12, verse number 1? There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. You say, well, who is this sun-clothed woman? It's Israel. You know why? She gives birth to a child. The sun-clothed woman, in verse number 2, she's travailing to be delivered. What's she going to be delivering? She's going to be delivering a man-child. That's what, in verse number 5, this man-child, she brought forth a man-child. You see that? God says, I want to introduce you to a man-child. You know who that man-child is? Jesus Christ. Look at it. Say, so how do you know that, preacher? Well, look what the Bible says about this man-child. He's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who's that going to be? That's Jesus. Then he said, I want you to know about this woman. I want you to know about this man-child. And then he said, I want you to know about this dragon. And he was coming against this woman, this unclothed woman, in verse number 3, this red dragon. Who is that? Well, verse number 9 tells us who it is. That great dragon was cast out. That's the old serpent called the devil and Satan. So we find out about this war that's going on. There's a war. Verse number 7, look at it. In heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. God said, I want to introduce you to some things that's going to take place. Brother, this is real. This is real. There's warfare going on right now that we can't see. It's like when Elijah said, God, open his eyes. Let him see what's going on. Sometimes we need to ask God, God, open my eyes and let me see into the unseen world so I can know that there's a real battle raging here. See, I think we think that we're, you know, and I don't want to keep bringing up this individual, but I really think, well, it's me against Governor Northam. Hey, listen, he's not our enemy. He's on the enemy's side. The devil's our enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen to me. We're in a spiritual warfare. You understand? We're in a spiritual warfare. You get your eyes on physical things and physical beings, you'll lose your focus. Sometimes we get so busy fighting one another, we don't see the enemy approaching. Can I tell you, if you get so busy fighting with somebody over something that doesn't matter, another Christian in the church, over what you think ought to be or what you think ought not to be, the devil's going to sneak up on you like a lion on its prey, and he's going to take you down. Listen to me. I've seen it happen over and over and over again as a pastor. People lose their focus and they get in a little fuss with somebody over something that means nothing. I mean, literally means nothing. And they're just locking up and going back and forth. And here comes the lion creeping in, sneaking up, and pounce right on them. Take them both out. God doesn't want you to stay focused on that. God wants you to stay focused on your race that he's given you to run. Say amen with me. God has given us a race to run. And we need to stay focused. You know what will happen? If you're running a relay race and you begin to look at the person running next to you, you're going to get out of your lane. You know what happens in a relay race? When you get out of your lane, you get disqualified. Don't lose your focus. Stay honed in. Stay focused. Chapter 13. God introduces us to a beast of the sea in verse number 13. Chapter 1, chapter 13, verse 1, he introduces us to a beast of the sea. Chapter 13, verse 11, he introduces us a beast of the earth. And then he said that this political beast and this religious beast are going to come together. All right? They're going to join forces. And what they're going to do is they're going to set up a system. And in verse number 16 of chapter 13, look at it. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Say, well, what is that? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how that we're going to, listen, when folks that are here, this world is going to be under tyranny. And it's going to be under dictatorship. And you're going to do it. Listen, there's not going to be any options. You understand that. We complain in America, the freest country on the face of the earth, we're losing our freedoms every day. And we complain about that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a day when this whole world is going to be under the tyranny of a world dictator. And that's real. You say, oh, preacher, I just don't know if I can accept that. I'm telling you what the Bible says. This is going to happen. I'm not happy this is going to happen, but it's going to happen. It's coming to pass, just like God said it was. I'm going to move on. Chapter 14 introduces us back into the 144,000 that will preach. And there will be people that will be saved, a great harvest of souls, the Bible says, out of the tribulation period. You do know that. There will be a great harvest of souls that will be saved in the tribulation period. The Bible teaches that, and we'll look at it in chapter 14. They're going to preach, in verse number 6 of chapter 14, the everlasting gospel. They're going to preach that, these flaming evangelists, and there'll be many to get saved. Chapter 15, we have something unusual take place. Notice if you would, in verse number 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. All right? So God said, well, there's been 13 plagues. Going to have one more, that's 14. Then we're going to add seven to it, that's going to be 21. And he said, I'm going to give before we blow that seventh trump. I'm going to give these seven last plagues. And notice what he says about these plagues. Look over, if you would, in chapter 15. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. The seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded in their golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. And they're going to be unleashed upon this earth. And then we have the sounding of the seventh trumpet. The Bible says here in verse number chapter 16, the vials, God begins to pour out the bowls of wrath upon this earth. Chapter 17 and 18, we meet political and religious Babylon. That's in chapter 17 and 18. And then we close in chapter 19, where God says, now I want to take you back to heaven. Meanwhile, back in heaven. It's almost like that's what happens. You know, I'm glad I won't be here for that. We're going to look into detail in our study of this book what's going to take place as God unleashes his fury and his wrath. The great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? You say, well, preacher, if we're not going to be here, why should we even look at that? It's God's Word. It's God's Word. And we need to read what's going to take place. Maybe it'll move us to get out and tell other people, hey, listen, you need to escape the wrath that is to come. And there's only one way to escape it. I remember years ago, I read a gospel tract by Dr. Oliver B. Green. And it shook me to the core. I was saved. I didn't know very much about the Bible. I hadn't been saved very long. I don't recall how long I had been saved. But I remember I read this tract, and it was called All This and Hell Too. How many of you have seen that tract by Dr. Oliver Green? All This, a few of you, and Hell Too. It shook me to the core. And it was about what we just looked at. He went through and he talked about the tribulation, the great tribulation, and all that was coming to this earth for those that rejected Jesus Christ. But then he said, as if that wasn't worse enough or bad enough, it's going to get worse. Because then you're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and you're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. You know, I think sometimes we lose sight of that. But it's real. Brethren, when people go to hell, it's forever. You know, we're not talking about jail here. It's hell. And it's forever. And it's real. The next time somebody smarts off at you or badmouths you for being a Christian or for witnessing to them, you just remember something. They're going to hell forever. I think we can take a little bit of mockery and scorn to try to help rescue them from hell, don't you? I think we should be able to withstand a little bit of that. Chapter 19 says, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. I'm going to close there tonight. There's going to be a lot of shouting in heaven. Notice what the Bible says. They said, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power of the Lord our God. Then they said in verse number 3, hallelujah! Verse number 4, they said, amen! Hallelujah! Verse number 6, they said, hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I want you to underline a word. In verse number 1, chapter 19, verse 1, after these things, I heard a great voice of, and underline that next word, much people. You're not careful. Old devil will have us believing, well, you know, there's only going to be a handful of people in heaven. That's not what the Bible says. There's going to be an innumerable amount of people in heaven. Much people. From all of time. All those that have trusted God with their soul by placing their faith in the finished work of Jesus. So, well, preacher, those Old Testament saints didn't get there that way. I beg your pardon. This is the cross. The Old Testament saints were just on this side, looking this way. And they believed God when he said he was going to send Jesus, and that Jesus was going to die for our sin, that he was going to be our sacrifice. They believed what God said he was going to do. That's the way they got to heaven. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We're on this side of the cross. We call this the Calvary side. That's the Sinai side. And we're looking back. We're not looking forward. We look back to the cross and we believe that God did what he said he was going to do. They believed God was going to do what he said he was going to do. We believe God did it. It takes faith to believe it. Right? And it's God's grace that we even have it revealed to us. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah did. You did too if you're saved. I did too. The book of the Revelation. As we studied this book, I don't want you to think, well, you know, it's deep and dark and mysterious. You've never read that in the Bible. The very name says it's an unveiling. It's a revealing, the revelation. God wants to reveal some things, to show us some things. And so he laid it out. And he said, here's an overview. I'm going to send great judgment upon this earth. And he is going to do that. You know, if I wasn't saved, and I heard that God was getting ready to unleash his fury upon this earth, I would give that some thought. All right? I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here and you're religious. I get concerned about religious people. You can stand to your feet. I don't know how long ago. I lose track of time, but I was talking to somebody recently, and I told them, I said, you know, the problem with our world is we have too much religion. And they looked at me like, what? I thought you was a preacher. You know. I said, well, let me explain myself. We need less religion and more Bible-believing Christianity. This religion, this thing of people just going through a formality, you know, this church of convenience, that's, I tell you, it's hurting us. There's got to be something, a relationship. See, I'm not here tonight because I'm concerned what you would think if I didn't come. I'm here tonight because there is a desire in my heart to be with you in this place before our God. I just love church. God put something in my heart for the church when he saved me. Now he did. And obviously he put something in your heart. And I believe he's put something in the hearts of people around the world to want to be in the house of God and hear the preaching of the Word of God. Let's bow our heads together. The revelation.